Anyway, Luke, I'm talking to Luke Kyo here, who's an analyst and man of many talents, I believe. And there's a song where one of the lines is there's 8 million bicycles in Beijing. And my question, Luke, is are there 8 million bicycles in Beijing?
I think Pat, there's definitely 8 million, if not more, on my own street alone. It's hilarious being here and seeing it all, and you have to kind of almost kind of swerve out of the way as you're crossing the street, and not just bicycles. It's electric scooters and electric mopeds. I think it's definitely Eamon Ryan's wet dream. It's
There's a quote
really
that's going on the show card, Luke.
it's no, it's really cool, and it's you can see how far ahead they are in terms of micro mobility and things like that. So, no, it's fascinating. And I'm, as you mentioned, I'm here now in Beijing, and I'm here now for a number of months up until the early summer. So it's my first time in Asia, and I'm here actually studying with UCD. So UCD, my college in Dublin, have a partnership with a university here in Beijing University of Technology, and I'm here as part of an exchange program with that. So there's a number of lecturers and things and academics that come over, no, it's already been a really interesting experience. And of course, from a telecoms perspective, China is a real progressive country in that regard. And being on the ground and actually, I suppose, absorbing that and learning about that, I think is really, really important, and to take it in, absolutely. So big change. It's probably been, I will say, the hardest thing I've done, potentially, in terms of leaving behind everything, and coming for a while. And I didn't know anyone coming over, no one in the college or anything. So I'm kind of starting to find my way, starting to meet people and things like that. But early days.
And what's your biggest surprise so far? And what's your either pleasant or unpleasant or both?
I think the biggest surprise, Pat, has to be the level of digitalization in terms of the penetration of online services here has blown me away. And I say that in the context of simple things like, going to order a coffee, in a coffee shop. We take for granted in Ireland and in Europe and the US that you can go up to the barista and ask them for a coffee. Here in many of the coffee chains, that's simply not possible. You are asked to use WeChat or Alipay, and even if I go up and try to order one physically, they say take out your phone and I'll order it for you there. The people are very helpful, in fairness, but it's a yeah there's a huge dominance of WeChat and Alipay and services like that. And I think they've digitalized a lot of things that are still manual in Europe. And I suppose there's pros and cons to that, I will say. Obviously there's a concentration risk there. I wonder what would happen if some of these services went down. But also, it makes things a lot more efficient at the same time.
Right, and is the in just while we're talking about that, the interfaces, so obviously they're payment platforms as well as many other services that we're aware of. I mean,
Absolutely.
are the interfaces easy to use? I know they're, I presume they're in Chinese, but how did you find the user experience looking at those?
So it's a very good question, and I think it takes definitely some time for the Western kind of mindset and muscle memory of using multiple different apps for different things to actually adjust doing everything through one super app. I will say the interfaces for me, I think they're probably not at the level that I would see in the West. I think they're a little bit harder to use, not as intuitive. And probably part of that comes from the fact that, so much functionality is embedded into the one interface. What's really interesting, I suppose, is that they kind of most of their apps are kind of web-based. So you scan a QR code and you're in a new kind of web app within WeChat or Alipay. But it's really interesting to see. And from a telecoms perspective, obviously I've been, testing the domestic networks and stuff like that. And it's you can really see the pervasiveness of, mid-band high capacity 5G in the city in Beijing here, is phenomenal. And you look around everywhere and there's massive MIMO radios. And I suppose that kind of reinforces and is borne out in the statistics that you look at online about the global RAN market. So, North America and Europe in the last 2 years have experienced quite significant declines in RAN activity. Whereas if you look at Asia and particularly China, market growth has been quite robust as operators are spending heavily still on macro rollouts. And I suppose that, brings us to some of the differences that are starting to develop in the kind of global telecoms market between Asia, Europe, and North America.
Right. No, that's very interesting. Yeah, obviously, Luke, I contacted you on the back of them. First of all, it's always great to talk to you, right? And I have to say the response
You
to
too. You too, Pat.
your previous podcasts have been phenomenal, in fairness. And great to see you developing this awareness and brand, personal brand. But mainly, I think it's because you have very interesting things to say. And could you, you said an interesting thing on LinkedIn there. I won't say, I'll let you explain it. What's your view currently, say, let's start with European telecoms. So where are we at? Is it all rosy in the garden? Is doom and gloom? Where are you at with your thoughts about that?
It's a very important question. And I think there's many different angles to it. I think if we zoom out and look at the macro view and the trends of where the market is at, you know, we're going through a period of significant change and perhaps a change that we haven't seen in a number of years, or even in the last decade, I would say. There is a huge kind of underbelly and under current of consolidation taking place. And you're absolutely right. I published a piece recently that I think it was probably one of the my biggest pieces last year. Many kind of interactions on it, and it was quite controversial because I made some kind of comparisons between the European market and the US market around the level of consolidation, you know, and the concentration ratio and things like that. And what is very clear and what there's no doubt about is that, you know, consolidation is an inevitability for the European market, and that will be driven by the economic necessity, you know, on the ground. And I know there was many different contributors to on my piece that, you know, mentioned that things like, you know, consolidation is bad for the consumer in the long run. You know, there's an increase in cost, a degradation of quality. And I suppose my response to that and my view on that is that, you know, this is a natural and organic force that's going to take place. And while there is, you know, some that have kind of a pure view of the market and believe that, you know, things can continue as they are, the actual trends would suggest otherwise. So if you look around Europe, you look at what's happening, you look at one of the largest groups, Vodafone, you know, has really been bleeding quite significantly in recent years. You know, they've tied up a number of different consolidation exercises in quick succession. Italy, the latest. Look at the UK, pending merger between Hutchison and Vodafone there. Mm-hmm. Even more recently in some of the other markets in the Nordics, like Iliad from France are investing in Tele2. You know, so there's huge kind of headwinds of change. And I suppose my I gave a good kind of an overview, and I said that, look, there's three tier one MNOs in the US, and in Europe we have more than 40 in a continent, you know, in our continent, and that's startling. And that juxtaposition, I think, needs further I suppose examination. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should go to three in Europe in any way. I want to make that clear to, you know, people that maybe had an issue with what
Hard
I was saying. exactly. Obviously, Europe is a very different space from a telecoms perspective. And, you know, one of the reasons I say that there is this need for consolidation is that if you look at what's happening in the telcos, you know, the crude assessment very much is that they have moved from being, you know, differentiated through infrastructure to now being differentiated through services. And, you know, in the future, unfortunately, likely differentiated through marketing, you know. And that kind of evolutionary process means that there's not a need for, you know, multiple separate telecoms operators in separate countries. So you take, for example, Ireland and the UK, you can already see there three have merged their leadership team between the Irish and the UK markets, because it was a realization, you know, that there's not a need for the two to be duplicating work in two very similar markets at the end of the day. And the economics will drive that. And I think at the regulatory perspective, there's a realization now in the European Commission that the historic approach of, you know, promoting a high level of fragmentation and a large number of players is actually costing, you know, the continent in terms of capacity to actually roll out and invest in infrastructure. And we're seeing a policy change starting to come, and, you know, a more favorable approach being taken towards different consolidation attempts. I think that's a positive step, and one that I would argue is inevitable.
Yeah, no, that's really a great synopsis. So, yeah, I think what you just mentioned there about the change in regulatory attitude is a significant point. Now, I'm sort of the same mind to you. I like that my son has a 12 € subscription per month with pretty well unlimited data. However, with my business hat on, I realized that's not a future business for where people are going to invest in. So there is some median between the fairly high tariffs that the US pays, consumers pay in the US versus where Europe is now, and the strategic view of, who gets the priority, the consumer first or the long term, shall we say, innovative and communications industry growth, will it attract investment? Today it won't. I mean, I saw there was a thing about a tower, one of the tower companies in Ireland being sold yesterday, and I was looking at it, I was reading it, and I was saying, this has absolutely nothing to do with telecommunications. This is real estate play on the back of telecommunications, and good luck to all those people, don't get me wrong, but in terms of innovation and telecommunications, there's nothing to do with it. It's If this is the news we have, it's not good news for the industry.
No, definitely. It's an important point to make, and yes, that was a significant announcement yesterday. That the Cellnex Ireland portfolio has been sold to Phoenix Tower International, which are American owned and already own the AIR portfolio in Ireland. And again, another prime example of some level of consolidation that's taken place there. It's a pertinent instance of the kind of abstraction of control that has taken place. So, Three's tower assets were in the hands of Cellnex, which have now, been sold off to Phoenix, and the leverage that the operators have had traditionally is starting to erode, and that's a good example of that. And as you said, it's very much kind of an asset business now with the tower business. And, Cellnex as a company has faced significant financial pressures over the last 2 years, because they went through a period of rapid expansion in Europe, and now obviously the environment fiscally around interest rates and whatever hasn't been conducive to that business model. So they're undergoing some restructuring at the moment, and there's restructuring taking place across the whole industry. I know in Ireland, unfortunately, recently we had the announcement that Three was downsizing their workforce here, and shedding a number of jobs, a couple of hundred jobs, I believe, and I would imagine that'll be, the first round of some level of reduction in workforce among the operators, and I suppose it reflects wider trends. So it's not unique to Three or not unique to telecoms. We see similar in technology as well. But I would say that kind of this phase of consolidation isn't limited to the traditional telco players. So if you look at what's happened recently in the technology space that's kind of focused on telecoms, so you see that Hewlett Packard Enterprises kind of emerging with Juniper Networks, and that's a really interesting development, because there's a whole adjacent ecosystem of players like Amazon's Web Services business, Microsoft Azure, VMware, and all these companies that are kind of funneling solutions into the telecoms market now, and there's a lot to be watching there, and they are important players. They're playing very actively in the private network space, starting to move into the eSIM space. These are the kind of key growth areas in telecoms that I would argue the telcos have, either missed, or are targeting quite poorly at the moment.
No, it's really interesting. So I was looking at Malaysia there a little while ago, and they have, on the back of a government-funded infrastructure, they use a licensee to run it as a business or a brand and so on. And I think it's a similar in Lebanon, maybe for different reasons. But I can actually foresee, now this is sort of extreme thing, where all the infrastructure is a public utility that's regulated, and then brands like Vodafone becomes an MVNO on the infrastructure, like. We can argue about that, but I the brands really are all they have left. Can I put it to you that way? In terms that people trust the say, the, oh, Vodafone or Three, they have a trust in that brand and they'll go with them. But underneath it all, is there much there? I don't see very much left.
You're dead right. And I think that particular Outlook would really, you know, worry and disturb, you know, someone in those legacy telcos. But I can tell you, you know, that I think many within those telcos actually would agree with you privately, you know, and that's kind of an indicator of where things are going. And even the brand market is becoming more crowded. So you see at the moment, there's a significant, you know, boom in the MVNO space, you know, and many different companies coming on board. I know I was posting recently about Revolut have launched their own eSIM proposition. They've partnered with a leading global MVNO. And that's an example of non-traditional players. Amazon as well, actually.
Really
in the US.
Interesting. That's a really interesting one, Luke, isn't it?
It is. It is, absolutely. And Amazon in the US as well are bundling now mobile service with their Prime subscription. And it's in its early stages still. But these are examples of new entrants that are coming into the space that actually have an established brand already. And can potentially challenge, you know, the brand that the telcos have. I do believe that, you know, telcos will continue to play an important role, certainly moving forward, in many different aspects of the, I suppose, the network stack. But it is becoming more and more minimalized, and it is changing. And I think only those that are innovative will survive. And that's, you know, very clear and obvious in the context of Asia, actually, where you look at markets like South Korea. I think we mentioned this before, but you know, some of the operators there, like KT and SKT, have been very innovative on the whole ecosystem side around, you know, building up a crop of revenue diversification strategies that support the core mobile service, you know, and I suppose protect against erosion of the bottom line.
Yeah, and I think Korea is a great example. Korea's always been ahead of the pack, and you can see in the whole vibrancy of the economy. Across every industry they get involved in, and now lately content or movies like the Korean
absolutely
movie,
yeah
you know.
K-pop and K-drama
unfortunately all those people are too young for me, so like they need to get a product for guys like me. Listen, Luke, that's really brilliant, and thanks again for you know, giving us your thoughts. So what are you going to be actually studying when you're there in Beijing? And one question: how do you like the food so far? But go ahead.
A very good question, Pat. Well, I'll start with the food one, actually, first of all. So I've been surprised, you know. I think, you know, everyone at home, at least that I've been speaking to, you know, was kind of saying, "Oh my God, how is he going to survive out there?" You know, there's this kind of image and projection of, you know, they're eating dog heads, they're eating, you know, cows, whatever. In reality, I've actually found that I'm loving the food. I said to the family before I left that I'm probably going to come back a skeleton. But now I think I come back a barrel. So I will, because I'm really enjoying the food, and there's so much variety and selection. It's very cheap, actually. It's kind of startling, actually, how cheap it is relative to home. So I'm enjoying the food and managing to get in my runs in between to hopefully burn off the pounds. And so I'm actually studying electronic engineering here. So which is, you know, very related to kind of the whole
Sure.
area we're talking about. And I think it's something that I really value, that, you know, in the telecom space, I'm kind of bringing quite a, you know, a focus on strategy and an analytical angle, and I think that lends itself very well to, you know, engineering and I suppose the problem solving skills that you develop there. So I'll be back anyway, hopefully all going to plan, end of June back in Ireland. And I was very sad, to be honest with you, Pat, that I missed Mobile World Congress this year. But I'll be back with a bang now, hopefully next year, and I look forward to it. And one thing I will say, actually, Pat, as well, is that at the end of this year in November in Dublin, actually, we have the Telecom Infra Project bringing their global flagship conference to Dublin, Fuse 2024. And we're doing a lot of work now domestically in Ireland to kind of, you know, rally the whole Irish telecoms ecosystem around that. And I hope we'll be able to report on that, you know, and I think it'll be a really significant and positive development for Ireland.
No, that's brilliant. And if you need any support before or after that, just feel free to reach out, Luke. And
super. So, thank you, Pat.
No, it's I know a star when I see one, Luke.
Oh, not sure about that now.
But so anyway, Luke, as you know, the pressure point in this podcast is nominating the Playhead song. So what do you have in mind?
Oh, it's a good, interesting one now. I like Go Your Own Way, the cranberry version, actually.
Oh, wow, that's
So I do.
interesting. That's interesting.
It's probably, yeah, no, it's probably people would be surprised now that I like that song for my age, but no, it's a really nice tune, and it's something, gives me kind of a reminder of home actually when I hear it here, which is really nice, and you kind of, I think you treasure those kind of nuggets when you're so far away, and at the same time so close to the likes of Zoom now that we're talking, which is great.
Sure, yeah. Well, here it comes. But Luke, thanks again. I'm sure we'll talk in a few months, and good luck in Beijing.
Thank you very much, Pat. Delighted to be here.
Open up.